For our meditation this morning, would you take your Bible and turn to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43. For our Lord's Supper meditations, we have been making our way through the book of Isaiah, just focusing upon various texts that particularly would pertain to the table of the Lord. And this morning we're coming to a text here in chapter 43. We've already looked at a text in Isaiah chapter 40 where God, speaking through his prophet, tells his people, "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God." And then he goes on to tell them the words of comfort. He tells them that their hard labor had ended, that their iniquities had all been removed, and they had received grace in the place of wrath. In chapter 42, we read there, "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights." The Father, he delighted in his servant because his servant was his son. And his son testified that he had come to earth to fulfill all of the Father's will. And he did that by purchasing our redemption by the sacrifice of himself. The prophet went on to describe how our Savior would deal with us in all of our weakness and our sinfulness. And there we read just such a beautiful description of the Lord Jesus, of his dealings with us, where it says, "A bruised reed he'll not break, and a dimly burning wick he'll not extinguish." So the Lord Jesus, we're being told there, he's a gentle Savior and he's a very gracious one. Well, this morning, as we come to chapter 43, our text is going to be verse 25, where it speaks of the grace of God in forgiving us. And here in verse 25, he says, "I, even I, am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I'll not remember your sins." So here we are told that he will wipe out our transgressions. That Hebrew word for wipe out is makah, and it means to erase or to blot out. The image here is an account book being opened up, which contains a record of all of our debt towards God. And what he does is he erases our debt. He blots the whole thing out. Our debt is completely gone. It would be something like burning the mortgage of your house. You've been in debt for so long, and then it's completely gone. It's out of sight. Well, all of our sins were recorded in God's book. Revelation 20 speaks of the books being opened on Judgment Day, and we read this, "And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds." Now, can you imagine the size of the book that it would take to contain every sin that we have ever committed throughout the entirety of our life? That would be a library in itself. Every sinful act that you've ever committed, every sinful thought you've ever entertained, every unkind word that you've ever spoken, every lie that you've told, every selfish motive, every selfish ambition, every prideful attitude, all recorded in the book. And that's only half the debt. Those are just the sins of commission. There's the countless sins of omission. Those things that we should have done, but we didn't do. Every deed of kindness we had opportunity to perform, but we didn't because we didn't feel like it. Every act of devotion to the Lord, neglected, all recorded in the book. Our love of self, our lack of love for others, our lack of love for the Lord, all recorded in the book. The book is unimaginable. But now God says, "I, even I, am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, I'll not remember your sins. When we trust in Christ, God wipes out the record of all of our sins. He blots every sin out of the book. There's not a trace of our sins that remains within God's book. This is why he says here, I'll not remember your sins. On Judgment Day, we're not going to be reminded of all of the sins that we committed, or perhaps those sins that we considered exceedingly evil. Not going to be brought up again on Judgment Day if we're trusting in Christ. All record of all sin, it's been blotted out. This is why God says through the prophet Jeremiah, in those days and at that time, declares the Lord, search will be made for the iniquity of Israel, but there will be none. And for the sins of Judah, but they'll not be found. God wipes out all of our transgressions because all of our transgressions were remembered at Calvary. And payment was made for all of our sins. They were exacted upon the Lord Jesus. We all know Isaiah 53, all of us like sheep, we've gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of all to fall on him. For the enormity of iniquity, look at the verses leading up to this text. Look at verses 22 to 24. Speaking to Israel, he says, yet you have not called on me, O Jacob, but you have become weary of me, O Israel. Can you imagine that? Think of the charge that is being brought against Israel. God's covenant people, they're weary of them. He goes on to say, you have not brought to me the sheep of your burnt offerings, nor have you honored me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with offerings, nor wearied you with incense. You have bought me no sweet cane with money, neither have you filled me with the fat of your sacrifices. Rather, you have burdened me with your sin. You have wearied me with your iniquity. So rather than bringing to God the sacrifices that they owed to God, they brought him their sins instead. Because they were weary of God, they were weary of worshiping God. They weren't going to make any sacrifices to God. They were going to keep all of that for themselves. Weary of God. He was weary of their iniquities. Now, following that kind of charge, you would expect God to pronounce a judicial sentence against them. But he does the exact opposite. In the very next breath, he speaks of how he's going to wipe out all of their transgressions. Verse 25, it begins with the words, I, even I. Think of what has just been said in those verses we've just read. The very one they had slighted and sinned against. The very one that they had become weary of. The very one that they had wearied with all of their sins. The very ones that refused to love God, refused to worship him as they were supposed to. The very one they wouldn't bring their sacrifice to the God. They wouldn't bow down in loving worship and adoration of him. This is the God who wipes out all their sins. And God says why he does it. It says for his own sake. That is for his own glory. To magnify the greatness of his grace. He wouldn't remember their sins anymore. He had blotted them all out. Israel was covered with guilt. They were ripe for judgment. But God would show them mercy instead. In those words, I, even I, in the expression there, for my own sake, it makes it abundantly clear here the reason God forgives sinners is it isn't because of anything good he finds within a sinner. It's all because of his self, all because of his own love, all because of his own grace, all because of his own nature. One writer says, in the pardon of sin, God can draw no reason but from his own infinite goodness. This has actually been the emphasis throughout this chapter. The emphasis is really upon God. Verse 1, I have redeemed you. Verse 2, I will be with you. Verse 4, you are precious in my sight. I love you. Verse 10, I have chosen you. Verse 11, I am the Lord. Verse 12, I am God. Verse 13, from eternity, I am He. Then our text, I am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake. I'll not remember your sins. Forgiveness, it's all of grace, we know that. But we sure easily forget it. Now, if Israel thought that they could argue some kind of merit, God, He calls them into His courtroom, and He challenges them, then testify to it. He does that in verse 26. He says, put me in remembrance. Let us argue our case together. State your cause, that you may be proved right. So God is challenging Israel to remind Him, if He had forgotten, anything good that they had done to deserve God's favor. If they had any merit, if God should act kindly towards them, then God says, well, remind me of that, because I have forgotten about such deeds, if they exist. But they had continuously sinned against God, and not only that generation, but previous generations. That comes out in the next verse, verse 27. He says, your first forefathers sinned, and your spokesmen have transgressed against me. Now, there's a great deal of comfort here in what we're reading. The reason that God loves us, the reason God forgives us, it isn't because of anything good that He finds within us. Think about that. Let's just say for a moment that it was because of something good within us. You know what we would do? Then we would search and search and search within us to see what's within me that merits God's love for me. And then you know what would happen? As we had an honest search of ourselves, discovering all the sin within us, we'd give up any hope because there isn't anything good within us that would merit God's love. We'd sink in despair. But we don't look at ourselves. We look at God. We look at God's nature. And it's for God's own glory that He forgives us. So when you wonder, why would God love me? Why would God choose me? Why would God send His Son to die for my sins? Why would God save me? The answer isn't found in you. The answer is found in God alone. Ephesians 1, it tells us this, that God chose us before the foundation of the world. He predestined us to adoption. Why did He do that? To the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed upon us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us. Paul, he goes on to say in Ephesians that in the ages to come, He might show to us the surpassing riches of His grace that has been bestowed upon us in Christ Jesus. Our salvation is not first and foremost for our happiness. It's for God's glory. In verse 21, it says, the people whom I formed for myself will declare my praise. It's all about God. In Revelation, we find the entire heavenly host praising God for what He has done in saving us sinners. It says this, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying, to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. And the four living creatures kept saying, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped Him. So God says it's for His own sake that He has saved us. And there we see the result of it. All of the heavenly host, all of the created beings are bowing down, bringing glory, not to themselves, but to God. Every time we come to the table celebrating the Lord's Supper, remembering what Jesus has done to save us, it's for God's glory. It's all about Him. Well, may we come this morning with hearts filled with praise and thankfulness that for His own sake He wiped out our transgressions and He'll remember our sins no more. Well, let's turn in our hymnals to sing about such forgiveness. 466.